Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant, looking this week once again at the biblical foundations for the estate planning life cycle. We went through four stages here in the last few weeks, and kind of a review, Paul, of a series you did a few months back, but you were talking about the legal aspects of the estate planning life cycle, but
yes,
getting more into the biblical foundations for each one of these steps.
That's right. And so let's take a quick review,
okay,
shall we,
of
the first couple steps. So step number one, exploration and education. We need to get wisdom. We spend a lot of time in Proverbs talking about different things that the Lord commands us to get wisdom and understanding so that we can do this correctly. Engage and create is talking about setting out that plan of action. So the heart of man devises a plan, but it's the Lord that orders the footsteps therein. So we need to engage, and we just can't get wisdom for wisdom's sake, but we need to actually take a step of action. Faith without works is dead. So we have to implement faith and actually take a step. Now, financial integration is number three. That is, we need to have all of our finances, all of our financial accounts to blend in with the plan properly. And then last week, we spent some time on the continuation commitment. I think this is one of the bigger issues, which is we need to have an ongoing relationship with an estate planner, because the one and done mentality is really a creature of the world. And we need, in order to have a plan that really fulfills our heart's desire, which then I am going to say I am hoping is given to you by the Lord himself, then we need to have something that is better than the world, which is we need to have a plan that will last generationally and think generationally. And therefore, in order to have that, we need to have a relationship with our estate planner.
Okay, well, that moves us into step five this week, and that's the family reception.
That's right. And one of the scriptures that I've mentioned quite a few times in this program on the Legacy and Faith Show is Proverbs 20:21. And it says this, "An inheritance gained hastily at the beginning will not be blessed in the end." Mm. And I've used statistics quite a few times. I've talked about that the average inheritance in America is spent. I mean, gone, not reinvested, not paying off homes, not getting things that will actually increase in the future. I am talking gone within 18 months.
No matter how big it was.
It really doesn't matter. That's right. So it can, the average inheritance is a little over $100,000. That is going up and up and up. There's going to be more wealth transferred in this next generation than ever before in any generation. So we understand that baby boomers are getting older as they pass away. They will typically give more money to their children than what their children have ever seen before in their lifetime. Why? Because my generation and below, we love to spend money. We are lousy savers.
Right.
And so therefore, we live based upon credit cards. We live on the seat of our pants. We live on the edge of financial ruin. And so because we have not been the savers that our parents have, that means that we have an opportunity for greater destruction. And that's really what this Proverbs is talking about. An inheritance gained hastily at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. In other words, why? Because the average person blows it. And I know your children are the exception. I know that your children would actually be fully responsible. They're good kids. Oh, no, they do well. They save their money. That's because it's their money. That's because because they earn it, and it's their blood, sweat, and tears. And you don't give your money away like you give someone else's money away. It's easy to spend someone else's money.
Right.
I don't know if we've ever encountered that.
That's our government credo.
That's right. Absolutely. So look, 80% of lottery winners go to bankruptcy. Why? Because they've received a sudden amount of money that they were never trained for, that they were never prepared for. And so in this section, of the estate planning life cycle, we're talking about family reception. We need to have a generation that is better prepared so that they are not going to just simply waste money when it is their turn to receive it. That's really one of my greater hearts lately. As the longer I do this, the more it pains me, actually, to see money passed from one generation to another. And yet that next generation, even though they love their parents, this is not about love and it's not about respect. It's about the ability to be trained to receive. So the average estate plan talks about wealth transfer. In other words, it's from the one who has the money. It's from the client's perspective. I'm going to create a plan and I'm going to give my money away. And almost no time is spent in what I call wealth reception. In other words, is the next generation ready to receive the wealth so that the vision that you have can be handed off and it can be ran with by the next generation? So that's really my passion. My passion is that we need to have wisdom and understanding, and we need to be wise with what we have been given. As a matter of fact, Jesus even address this. In Matthew 10, verse 16, he was telling his disciples, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep into the midst of wolves, and therefore you need to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Well, let's look at that for a half a second. We need to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. I think that if we look at this and we go, a serpent. And as a matter of fact, now Jesus was communicating to a Jewish culture at this time. So these two symbols would have been very clearly understood. And the first symbol, there would have been a response in them, maybe even emotionally, to say, what is Jesus telling us? Because the serpent goes all the way back to Genesis 3, which is God created the serpent, and he was more subtle, is what the King James says. Other interpretations say that he was crafty. He was the most crafty that God had ever created. And so in a Jewish culture, they would have understood the symbolism to say, I need you to be wise. Now, it is not about using the wisdom of the enemy. That is not what Jesus is saying. As a matter of fact, it is actually completely the opposite, which is, I am sending you out. Okay, where's Jesus sending them out? Into the world where there are wolves. Well, wolves don't dance around. Now, I've never been face to face with one, but there's a lot of movies that show wolves are not nice.
And they hunt in packs.
Yeah, they hunt in packs. Right. You know, except for Dances with the Wolves or something. That was a nice wolf. Right. But other than that, wolves are not really nice. And they are set out to destroy. And Jesus was giving a symbolism that I am sending you there, but I want you to be crafty because the world is crafty. I want you to be wise and think through the system that I'm sending you into. But why? Because we need to meet the world with at least the same standard, but a righteous standard. So we can have the wisdom of God, which is superior to the wisdom that he gave the serpent. And so we're supposed to be wise. We're supposed to be crafty. We're supposed to use the world system, not for ourselves, but in opposition to itself. But we are to use God's wisdom. I used a scripture last week out of Proverbs 3, which is trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't lean upon your own understanding. So be wise like a serpent, but not with your own wisdom. We have a leg up. We have the Holy Spirit within us when we've given our life to Jesus Christ. He speaks to us so that we can have the things of God and that we can overcome the world because of what Christ did on the cross and because we are wise. Now, the second symbolism is the dove, which was used in sacrifices. It was denoted as a symbol of purity. So in other words, I'm going to send you into the world. I want you to be crafty like the world, but I don't want you to be tarnished like the world. I don't want you to take on the ways of the world. I want you to remain pure like the dove. I want you to be ready to sacrifice yourself has a sweet smell to me, but I want you to be wise. So there's the symbolism that we need to use in training up the next generation. We need to be wise, but untarnished by the world that we live in. We need to be ready to be pure because he has made us pure. And so in the family reception, I think we have some confusion here in the body of Christ, and we see two different terms in the word. We see terms children, and we see the term of being sons or daughters. Now, in Psalms 127, it says, children are a heritage from the Lord, and like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver full of them. Now, I've heard it said that kind of like jumping off of this scripture, that we are to release our children, that we use the symbolism of arrows to say we're supposed to shoot them away and prepare them. Mm-hmm. I strongly disagree with this type of a parallel to this one scripture. I don't ever find in scripture that Jesus has ever left us or forsaken us. As a matter of fact, it is completely the opposite. He said that I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so as a parent, I am concerned that in the body of Christ, that as our children have gotten older, that we have begun the process of actually stop communicating and stop giving wisdom and understanding. It is a prevalent theology, a prevalent thing I hear often of people saying, well, they're adults. So the thought process is, well, I can't tell them what to do. I'm not supposed to input into their lives anymore. I'm not supposed to actually instruct them because now they get to do it. Now they're on their own. Where in scripture does it say that God ever leaves us to ourselves? As a matter of fact, it's completely the opposite, which is that he will be our constant revelation, our constant wisdom, our constant input. And so in Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So again, there's that word child. Mm. So as children, we are to input, and a lot of the Proverbs are talking about being children, which is a youthful age under the time when children are under your cover in your house. But now we have a difference. Now we have a difference of sending them off when they're married, but never stopping the education, never stopping the vision that God is giving you and inputting godly wisdom and direction into the lives of our family. As a matter of fact, Titus, if I can go to Titus, how many times do we go to Titus in this show? Not too often, I don't think, but we're going to go to Titus today, Titus 2. And then after the scripture, we're going to take a break. Okay. So in Titus 2, it's talking to the aged women to have certain qualities. And in Titus 2:4, it says, to the aged women that you may teach the young women to be sober. Now, these are not children. These are young women. In other words, these are women that are already married and starting to have kids. So here is just one example, and I'm going to bring out some other things. Here's one example that we are to constantly be mentors in a godly atmosphere on how to raise people up in godliness. That is never done in our lives. Regardless of how old your kids are, you have a mandate to speak godliness over them, to direct them to righteousness and holiness, and to help them continually be on the sweet and narrow path towards our Lord and Savior. So in this family preparation, in estate planning, the family reception is that there are godly ways to manage money, godly ways to hand off an inheritance. And my call to godly people is we are still to help our children. We're still called to help them in a biblical manner to be ready when we pass away to hand off this wealth to the next generation. So we'll get back to this a little bit more about the family reception in the estate planning life cycle.
Okay, people are intrigued. They want to know more about your services, maybe get some more education, listen to some more podcasts. How did they do that, Paul?
Head over to our website at legacyandfaith.com.
Paul Grant, more of the Legacy and Faith Show in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show this week, continuing our look at the biblical foundations of the estate planning life cycle and into the family reception stage right now, stage number 5 of 8. And we were talking before the break how it's so important for families and parents to stay involved in their kids' life. But you're not talking about manipulating kids once they get out of the
house, the whole thing
of the helicopter parent and all that.
That's right. And that's a really important distinction.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to speak about this topic with a little bit of passion because I see more often than not parents disengaging from giving their kids wisdom versus, and then the opposite is exactly true, which is what you're talking mm-hmm. about, which is someone who is just never letting their kids be.
Well, I find what happens a lot of times, for instance, a young married couple will borrow money from one or t'other parents. And
yeah.
that's almost always seems to set up a real awkward situation you got to be careful with. Some kids need to borrow money from their parents, but it can be abused.
Absolutely. And the word even gives us warnings about that. Look, if we're going to be a borrower, then we're going to be a slave.
Even their parents.
Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh. It really doesn't change, right? Mm-hmm. Is that I owe them money, and then sometimes parents mention it, and sometimes they make little snide remarks. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're going to lend your kids money, knock it off. It's either you're going to do it nicely or you're not going to do it. But
right.
but don't use it as an opportunity
right.
to manipulate and continue to try to tell them the direction that they should go with the steps of their life. What I'm talking about is spiritual mentorship.
Okay.
Spiritual mentorship is different than trying to control and tell the child what to do. Now, children need it, but sons don't. Okay? So there's a difference here. Now, look, in 1 Timothy, right? In 1 Timothy 4:12, it says, let no man despise your youth. Okay, so let's stop there. Let no man despise your youth. So I think we remember how Timothy was set up, that he was a very young disciple of Paul, and he was brought into the ministry at a very young age. So when Paul wrote this letter, most scholars believe that Timothy was in his young 30s. But yet, isn't it interesting the word that we use? The word that the scripture used was, don't let anyone despise you for your youth. Mm. So he's clearly not a child. He's clearly out of the home. He's clearly able to make decisions. Mm. But don't let anyone despise your youth. So there is a separation in biblical terms between children, under the cover, need guidance. Yes, obey your parents. But that is not to consistently pull over to someone in their youth versus someone who is much older. And so, but, 1 Timothy goes on, but you are an example to believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So here we have someone who is young, but yet they're in their 30s. And so he is still needing mentorship. He still needs appropriate guidance. He still needs appropriate words of wisdom from his mentor. That is the heart of God, I believe, of where can we be a spiritual mentor? I never want to stop being, maybe for lack of better terminology, I'm not thinking of something better to speak it. So I'm going to use the word almost like a pastor over my children, is that as they get older, a pastor doesn't demand, but is constantly giving words of wisdom, constantly giving encouragement, constantly keeping people on the straight and narrow, shepherding versus manipulating and controlling. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that the spirit of manipulation is like witchcraft. So we don't want to be manipulative. We don't want to be that parent. But yet we still need to be a mentor over our children's lives. And really, that's what the family reception discussion is about, is that many people have never experienced wealth before. And now look, wealth is relative. Okay. When I talk about being blessed of God, I'm never talking about a dollar figure in your bank account, because to some people, $100,000 is a lot. To others, $1 million is pennies. So I'm not talking about a dollar value. I am talking about that when we pass on a blessing to our kids, yes, it should be spiritual, but it should be monetarily as well. There is an expectation, I believe biblically, that there is more than just your spiritual stuff passed. It is a wealth being passed, and we want our kids to do well with it. So in family reception, they need to be prepared. So now my question to you is, what programs, what educational opportunities does your estate planner offer to you and your family to constantly train the next generation to be prepared for this? So that when they do receive something, it will not be just simply reflected their impulse nature, which is, I can spend it, I can finally buy, I can finally go on the trip, I can finally get the big boat that will just depreciate in value. I can do all these things of my want without any education of how to pass this off and begin to be prepared financially with a different mentality of how to manage what is being given to them. So remember, I understand that some of your kids may have more money than you do. And as a parent, man, that is, there's probably nothing that brings you more joy to look at your kids and know that they're doing well and that you had a part to play in that. But for many of us, maybe our kids are not doing as well. And I am going to submit to you that it doesn't matter, in my opinion, whether they're doing great or whether they're doing poorly. There has to be education in how to receive whatever you're going to pass to them so that they can continue the vision that you have been given by God. And that's really my heart in family reception, is, are we training the next generation? Are they ready to receive? Now, sometimes we need to put in controls. So if your child has never really ever been able to manage finances, maybe a part of what they need is a trust that will help unwind and give them a long-term financial approach, because that's not how your children think. Others may need a trust just for protection purposes. So if I'm going to hand off something to my kids, so I have two daughters and they're younger, they're 21 and 23. To me, that's still young. I can't believe that I'm even in my 50s, but that's okay. You start gauging everything by how old your kids are. So regardless of how much I have or don't have at the end of the day, when I'm called home, what I do want to make sure is that whatever I leave my girls is going to be used for their benefit, not a potential walking away spouse. And we live in a broken system. I've raised my children based upon the principles of the Word of God. Now, that does not guarantee me that one of them cannot go through a divorce in their lifetime. It just can't. I hope that they have spouses that love them, protect them, take care of them, and that they are full of passion and love and commitment to each other. But if something fails, I want to make sure as a father that I've left something behind that will protect my girls financially. And so regardless of their current wisdom, and they'll continue to grow in wisdom, I want to make sure that anything I give has the value that I possess as a father over my family. which is I want to make sure that it lasts for as long as possible, and I want to make sure that whatever I give to them is protected in a way that unforeseen things living in a fallen world, whether it was divorce, car accidents, bankruptcies, any other thing that we talk about, can be passed on, and that they have the wisdom and the understanding of why I've done it, and that it is a gift to them. It is not meant for manipulation. It is meant for an opportunity for them to financially succeed in life for whenever I leave this earth. That is my passion, and that is family reception in the estate planning life cycle.
Okay, that's what we've been looking at this week, the biblical foundations for the estate planning life cycle. If you're listening to this today, you're intrigued, you want to find out more about Paul and his services, how do people get in touch with you, Paul?
They can head over to my website at legacyandfaith.com. There's podcasts, so we've done the life cycle, estate planning life cycle, both on a financial
legal period,
thank you. And also now we're heading it into a biblical. All those are uploaded at legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, legacyandfaith.com. Always great stuff. The Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.